We're coming to you with another episode about the music of the Sega CD, continuing to explore some of the best music and just sometimes the most unique music of that system. I hope you guys enjoyed the last episode. I got some great responses from it, but from everyone that did not write in, that did not tweet to me, I hope you enjoyed it as well. We're getting towards the end of 2016, and there's a couple things that go along with that. One, I think it might be time that we take a look back on 2016 for the episodes of Back of My Play and just get a bunch of former guests on here and talk about our favorite games that were covered in 2016 and revisit them a little bit. That was really fun last year. But also, we might be doing something a little bit different. There's this game called The Legend of Zelda, A Link Between Worlds, and I really like it, and I really want to play through it again for the end of the year. And I think it would be really fun to get some people on the show to talk about that and its relation to, of course, The Legend of Zelda, A Link to the Past. So let me know if you guys are cool with that idea. But, I mean, there's so much great music. There's just a really great take on that world and, you know, arguably one of the best Zelda games of all time. So that'd be really fun to discuss along with that. I mention this from time to time, but it means so much to have the support of Patreons out there at patreon.com/backinmyplay. You know, depending on when you guys hear this, you know, things have changed a little bit, and you know, more than ever, your support is incredibly important to supporting this show going forward. So I hope you head over to patreon.com/backinmyplay. You go to the show notes for this episode, you can make a one-time or a monthly donation. It means so much whenever I get those. It means that you guys really enjoy this show and that you look forward to it every week and you believe in the show itself. You find value in it and all that stuff. So thank you everyone out there that has stepped up and supports me and supports the production of this show. So let's get to it. Episode 2 on the Sega CD. And we're not going to forget the Sega CD. We've got other stuff to talk about. We got some games to cover. But, you know, we got to hit on the important stuff like the music first, and then we'll talk about such incredible hits as Night Trap and Sonic CD and Marky Mark and the Funky Bunch Make My Music video. We'll get to it in a little bit. Hope you guys enjoy the show. Speaking of awesome stuff, we mentioned role-playing games. We mentioned Lunar, but we did not mention Lunar 2 Eternal Blue, which is a badass name within itself. But this is, again, something that we got in from our listeners. A lot of love for Lunar. This is from, I probably shouldn't even try to pronounce the last name, and I apologize, but at Nameva, N-A-M-E.
Nameva?
There we go. Awesome. Yeah, you're also on this tweet. But Brave Warriors and Boss Battle from Lunar 2 Eternal Blue. Yeah, those are pretty good tracks. Let's listen to them right now. Yeah, those are pretty dope. I thought those were pretty good. And I think I think when it comes to the Sega CD, I really appreciated what some of these RPGs, what they were doing with the music, because it still sounds like sick, awesome Japanese RPG music. And that's kind of like what I come to for the last two games that I want to bring up. And these are games that I actually want to play through specifically just because of the music being so good. And I will start with actually Shining Force CD, which, holy smokes, wow, from top to bottom, that soundtrack is awesome. And it almost sounds like a Super Nintendo soundtrack, which probably is counter to what I was saying earlier before. But I think it is like a really good, like even like in that Sega CD and PS1 era JRPG soundtrack, like even like the Squaresoft games and Square Enix games. Yeah, I guess it was still Squaresoft back then, where you would actually like. The final, like Final Fantasy 7 and 8, like they totally had like weird, like middle ground soundtracks. Like, I know I keep coming back to that, but I don't even know how to really describe it. And Shining Force CD is definitely there. And it's, oh my God, it's so good. It's probably why this game is $14,000 on eBay. Thank you.
Yeah, I mean, I don't really have anything to add there.
You're have you played through this?
Years ago. I haven't played it in a long time.
Did you play through Shining Force CD or just Shining Force on the Genesis?
Shining Force CD.
Okay. But and this is just a kind of a weird game as well, because you, of course, just could have played through Shining Force on the Genesis, right?
No, it's not the same game. It's so there were Shining Force Gaiden games, pretty much.
This is from the Game Gear. That's right.
Yeah,
okay.
With Shining Force CD, you're getting the two Game Gear
games
plus an extra set of, I don't know how many, if there's just one battle or just one chapter or whatever, but you get an extra chapter.
Okay, I still am continuing to, like, side note real quick, still, like, flirting with the idea of getting a completely recapped Game Gear and doing some episodes on that, because I was a Game Gear kid back,
really?
Back in the day. Yeah, because, like, when I was, after my parents got divorced, we had a super Christmas, because they were trying to, like, really make sure the kids were okay. So that was the year I got the sick Game Gear with World Series Baseball packed into it. Plus, it also came with Sonic 2, which is garbage. Plus, I got the mini golf game. What the hell was it called?
Forget what it's called. Putt and Putter.
Yeah. Oh my God, that game was so. I played so much of that game, and eventually got Sonic Triple Trouble, which is outstanding.
Good
that game. That game is super good, or at least it was back then. I've never risked to, like, pick it up on Virtual Console to check it out, but I know it's on 3DS Virtual Console. But yeah, to, like, check out games like, you know, Shining Force on there. There were a lot of, like, unique, good, exclusive slash on the Master System, which nobody had, games that that are probably worth checking out, especially, like, a lot of the Disney-based games on the Game Gear were, like,
good Disney games, yeah.
Wicked impressive, like, super impressive for what they were doing on that like, total garbage LCD screen. But, yeah, that's something I'm definitely going to need to check out. I don't know, if you're listening to this and you're like, hey, yeah, we should totally do some stuff on the Game Gear, let me know, because, you know, we can get Shining Force, we can get Shining Force 2, because those are actually really inexpensive on the Game Gear. They're like under $20. So we could totally do that. Man.
Amen.
Yeah. But yeah, Shining Force CD, like, pop that up on YouTube right now and just use it for the rest of the day. It is really, really good.
I agree with you that it feels like sort of an early example of where Japanese RPG music was going.
Yeah.
CD based systems.
Like, it absolutely sounds, it almost sound like, I'd probably shouldn't, like, compare it to anything specifically, but, like, it just reminds me of a lot of, like, PS1 RPG soundtracks of mm-hmm. where those would be going before they went, like, fully orchestral.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely.
So let's talk about some more, horizontal shooters. Oh no, this is a vertical shooter. My fault.
No, I'm actually going to talk about Road Rash.
Oh yeah, I was just going to skip right over that, because how could a game like Road Rash have a sick soundtrack?
Because you have one of the early examples of licensed music. So the
because
big
that,
thing was
that, that. Sorry, I mean, I just will say real quick, the Game Awards. I don't know. You guys probably talked about the Game Awards on the Player One last week.
Yes, we did.
Did you guys talk about, like, best video game soundtrack?
No.
How, like, most of the soundtracks that they were considering were just licensed music?
No, that happens now, right?
That's so gross.
It's normal now. It was weird back then. Weird back in 94.
It is, but still disappointing today. Come on, guys. You can do better.
But that being said, so the 3DO version of Road Rash, which came out around this time, had a killer soundtrack, which included, most importantly, Soundgarden, the other groups, Swerve Driver, Therapy. I don't know any of these groups, by the way. But anyway, the downside to the 3DO version was that the levels were streaming off the disc on the 3DO version. So when you actually raced, you just got this really terrible, like, PCM
mm-hmm.
audio. It was awful.
It was just like the complete opposite of what, you know, a lot of games are doing. Like they would just like load the level up in RAM,
right,
and then they would just stream the music off the CD.
Right, which is exactly what was happening on the Sega CD. So on the Sega CD version of Road Rash, which is basically Road Rash 3 as far as I can tell, you got that amazing soundtrack while you raced. So that's one of the reasons I threw it on here. It is so good. Like Rusty Cage, come on. Just awesome. So good. So good. You should play it and get some copyright hits on your show.
I was like 3 years old, so.
Killing me.
Probably not going to recognize that as much. Although I'm sure, you know, there was one track from Soundgarden that was really big when I was in fifth grade. I forget what it was called, but I remember Soundgarden from fifth grade.
I was like 20 years old.
Yeah, you were. All right. So let's talk about some more games from the audience. And again, I mentioned Chris Baker, who came up. He's been on Player One recently, I think. And of course... So how do you know him? Seabake was at EGM, right?
No, Chris was hired as the previews editor at. Well, he was hired as an editor, and then he became the previews editor at Official PlayStation Magazine,
OPM,
which was
okay.
In the same building EGM was in, and he was kind of my counterpart. So we did a lot of the same work because I was running the previews section on EGM, and we were actually roommates for a while too.
Cool. Did he have a sick comic book collection with him back then?
I think they were all in boxes.
Of course. You got to have them in box. You got to have them in plastic because otherwise you would enjoy
them. What's the point? Yeah.
So Seabake brought up Spider-Man versus Kingpin, including the tracks Swing Time and Ultraverse Prime aren't good, but they're totally memorable. I don't know if it's, I think we talked a little bit about this before, but also the Sega CD just had like a really weird library of games. And this was a unique Spider-Man game for CD-based platforms. But again, you know, of course, if Seabake is going to bring anything up, it's going to be a comic book game and it's probably going to be a Marvel game. And he came through with Spider-Man versus Kingpin for the Sega CD.
Yeah, so, I mean, Spider-Man versus Kingpin was actually released on the Genesis, on cartridge.
But it was just, like, titled Spider-Man, right?
Well, no, I believe it was officially Spider-Man versus the Kingpin.
Okay.
But anyway.
I remember Spider-Man for the Genesis, and it was just, like, Spider-Man on the cover with...
Right.
Okay.
Yep. But when they brought it to the Sega CD, I forget... It was a different producer because that original Spider-Man game, again, was an Ed Annunziata game. He did not produce the Sega CD version. And when they brought it to the Sega CD, they added like a whole map screen and you could go anywhere you wanted.
Animated scenes, voice actors, stuff like that.
So I forget what Spencer Nielsen's, because this again, Spencer Nielsen, I forget what his relationship was with Eric Martin. I think Eric Martin was like a big video game fan, but they collaborated because Spencer Nielsen also did television and movie audio as well. He wasn't just a video. Before he was a video game composer, he did a lot of other work, and he was a part of like a new age, some kind of new age music band, whatever. Anyway, he collaborated with Eric Martin a couple times, and this was the first time.
Of Mr. Big again.
Of Mr. Big, yep. Mr. Big fame. He collaborated with him on this, which is an awesome. I hope you play it because the lyrics are fantastic. Fantastically terrible. But then they collaborated again on the Saturn with Daytona USA Championship Circuit Edition. Eric Martin sings the lyrics for the opening song in that game, too. So, you know, Sega and Mr. Big, forever entwined.
I guess so. And we're going to continue to move on to my final game, which is Potful Man. Again, it just is super awesome Japanese video game music that is some of the best that I've heard. And now the cool thing, again, about doing like research for this episode is I basically like went through the library of Sega CD games, which isn't super deep, so it's not very hard, and went through a bunch of the soundtracks. And Potful Male is again, I thought Greg was going to laugh at me. It's a really cute game, but you got Falcom and mm-hmm. you know, of course, of Ys and Ys 2 and Ys 3 and Ys 4 and Ys 5 and Ys 6 and Ys 7 and then of course Ys 8, which is hopefully coming to the PlayStation Vita and the PlayStation 4 here in the West very soon. Xseed, get going. Actually, you know what, Xseed's not bringing that over here. Axis is actually doing it, but yeah, Axis, get going, come on. But Falcom soundtracks usually are somewhat similar sounding, but I just thought Potful Male was beautifully done. And the cool thing about it is they'll actually have individual tracks for the areas that you're exploring, but then also different renditions of those for when you get into battles. Yeah, and like you can kind of go down the list and pick anything, whether it's like, you know, the castle stage or the jungle stage. Like really good. Like I'm gonna have to listen to it some more, and I'm sure I will for editing this show. But again, this soundtrack is so good. I was like, all right, well, I gotta get a copy of Potful Male, and I need to play through this because it is just like I like those Japanese video game soundtracks that actually like they They are seeping with joy. You know what I mean?
That's definitely this game.
Yeah, and I really dig that. So that's probably why it stood out so much for me. But the only downside of this stuff, and it, like I said, getting a lot of these soundtracks is, you know, your best route of action is to like not go on iTunes and buy this stuff, you know, through an MP3 store, but you're probably going to have to just buy or get a pirated version or like the disc image, download it, burn it to a CD, then put it back into your computer to get the soundtracks off them. Because like for Powerful Male, I went and I tried to search for the soundtrack of it, and the game itself, the US version, goes for like $400.
So, sorry, I'm have you checked on this? I don't think Powerful Male's soundtrack is Redbook Audio.
Oh,
pretty sure it's. I'm pretty sure it's not, which might be one of the reasons why you haven't been able to find it as easily.
Okay, at least you guys should be ripping this stuff. But
you should. It's a good soundtrack.
Yeah, you should take all your Sega CD games and put them in your CD player and see if you can rip them. But yeah, unfortunately, like, you know, with how good Falcom has been getting like all their old soundtracks up on iTunes, getting them up on Amazon MP3. It is not up on there, and it's kind of a niche game. So I guess I can understand, but still a little bit of a bummer and probably not worth the $300 risk to import it. It is one of those games where if you want to get the Japanese version, you got to remember the Sega CD is region free. Japanese mm-hmm. version is like $60. So you could always do that.
So a little bit of trivia for you on this. So, of course, Powerful Male was originally a PC 88 mm-hmm. game. And originally, when it was going to be ported to the Sega CD, it was going to be ported as a Sonic game.
Oh, that would have been terrible.
It was originally back, I only know this because I recently wrote this for the Player One website. In 93, there were a lot of rumors going around about a game called Sister Sonic, which was going to be, it was going to be an action RPG starring Sonic's sister. Mm. And that was this game. That was what this was going to be. And apparently there was a huge backlash and it was reverted back to Popful Mail. There's a bunch of different versions. There's Popful Mail on the Super Famicom as well.
Yeah, I was just going to say that. Like you can find that when you go on your next trip to Japan and pick it up on the Super Famicom. But I believe
but
that was
different games.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, all the ports and the original and all the ports are all different.
Okay, that's good to know. Yeah, but man, Falcom, just like...
Great games.
Yeah, I think, you know, Falcom probably doesn't get enough credit for the consistency of quality that they've had for 30 years. to this day, still pumping out some of the best games, whether it be the E-series, and like including their in-house music teams are just so badass. Like those, the thing that is a huge... the bummer right now is that you can actually get the Ease 8 soundtrack on iTunes for like $15, like all 8,000 tracks from it. But the game is still like probably a year away on PS4 and PlayStation Vita. Like they got to get that thing out before, you know, they're no longer, I don't even think they're making new PlayStation Vitas. So hopefully they can get that thing out there so people can continue to play it. But yeah, I might need to go check out, like the PC-8801 is another, you know, piece of hardware, you know, talking about Japanese PCs where it delivered some kick-ass music mm-hmm. on that hardware. And I think it was, I'm going to think for a second, but Kevin Giffords, incredible. Like if you want, this is he will put this episode to shame. With his fantastic video game music series that I always keep on my phone or like have those podcasts downloaded, but yeah, you should definitely go check out Kevin Gifford's fun series on iTunes or wherever you get your favorite podcasts, or at magweasel.com, his website that he hasn't updated since 2013, which is a huge bummer.
So sad.
Yeah,
you just go there every day.
Oh yeah, dude, Magweasel, and also just like some of the best episodes of A4 Play are with Kevin Gifford. So
yeah,
and I was so bummed because one of my last trips, I was out there like our our trips like misaligned by 1 week, it would have so been awesome to have a Kevin and Kevin episode of A4 Play. And I could just like listen to his awesome stories all day and get some ramen. So Pothole Mail is a game that you should go and check out. At least go listen to the soundtrack on YouTube.
Yes. So the next game that I have on my list is Robo Alesta or Alest. I don't know how you want to say it, which is a part of the same series as like Musha. This is the game most people will know. But this one is cool because it sort of takes place in an alternate version of ancient Japan. The Japanese title of this, I think it's called Nobunaga and his Ninja Force or something like that. So yeah, Nobunaga Oda is the main villain. He's treated as the main villain in the game at first, so you get an idea of the era that it's set in. But it's really cool because it creates this, the music is this really interesting mix of what you would expect to be like sort of traditional Japanese sounds, but mixed with like electronic dance music.
It's like we were talking before we were recording, but I was super lucky when I picked up my first Neo Geo cabinet. It came with a copy of Viewpoint, mm-hmm. and the soundtracks are very similar. So also go check out some Viewpoint for some bonus awesome music.
It's funny though playing that game because of course the problem with Redbook Audio was that eventually it would stop. Like the tracks were only so long, and then you'd have some dead air while the laser, you know, went back to the beginning of the track basically and began playing it again. And almost every single track in this game is not long enough for the level it's in. You will almost always run into that dead air.
Perfect.
Yeah, like that cough there.
That's no. I mean, like that is something that I forgot to bring up for. Sega CD is maybe one of the worst parts of the Sega CD is whenever you hit pause, whenever the track needs to start back up again, there's like 3 seconds of silence in mm-hmm. the game. And this is totally Final Fight CD, is if you press pause, like the disk drive will just give itself a break and will slow down.
Heck pauses.
I pause and because I'm like, oh man, do I really want to like waste my time on this terrible beat 'em up? But it even happens when like just the track ends. Like you'll have a couple seconds of silence, then it needs to start back up again. Like that is that is just the worst.
Well, that was a problem with all the early CD-ROM systems that were using Redbook Audio. But yeah, it was just noticeable in this game because you kind of knew where you were by where the dead air was happening. It's funny too, because if you really pay attention to the layout of the tracks on the discs that you're ripping, mm-hmm. like as an example, Sonic CD, you'll find that like the end level stingers and the game over stuff are right at the center of the disc, right in the middle of the track listing. I assume because that way, you know, it's the fastest, it's the quickest place to get to, no matter where the drive is. Anyway, one last thing that I wanted to bring up is the Terminator. I love the soundtrack for the Terminator. It was done by Tommy Tallarico, who nowadays known mostly for Video Games Live. Was a big
electronic playground.
Yeah, he hasn't been on there in a long time though.
You can still check out those old episodes online. They're pretty awesome.
He's a big composer for Virgin Games back in the day, Earthworm Jim, and I think Global Gladiators, a few other things.
Mick and Mac, dude, totally.
Mick and Mac, yep. But Terminator, man, the Taking to the Air is the name of the track. It's the first track in the game, and I defy you to find a track that pumps you up more for the game you're about to play. Defy you, Larrabee.
I mean, I can pick multiple tracks from the Halo 3 soundtrack.
Doesn't matter, you're wrong.
Even like The Light is Green from Halo 5 is really good.
See, you're not even starting in a good place there.
I'm starting from the best place.
They're not as good as this.
Yeah, they are. Or just like the Pacific Rim soundtrack.
Just play it and let people understand.
Yeah, I think Tommy Tallarico was like probably one of the first video game composers I knew about, even before like Koji Kondo. Like we're talking back in like 2004 when I had G4 or Tech TV as part of my cable package. So he was on TV quite a bit, and that was probably my first exposure to like, oh yeah, like there's video game composers out there back when I was 18 years old. He's pretty good.
Brutal.
Yeah, pretty brutal. So you go to Tallarico.com for all your Tommy Tallarico needs. But yeah, I think that is probably where we will wrap things up here a little bit. But Sega CD is weird, man. I don't know how I feel about it.
We're doing a full episode. We're doing a few more full episodes of this. That's all there is to it.
Yeah, I think if we're going to do anything, if we're kind of game planning this stuff right now and doing it in front of the audience, I think Potful Mail is one of them. I think Batman Returns is probably one of them. And I think like if we're looking
Snatcher.
Snatcher is one of them. That's something we already talked a little bit about before. But and then I think you can probably merge the Terminator with Batman Returns in an episode. And I mean, Snatcher was that's going to be like a 10-hour game. So I just need to find some time when I can do that. And I wish I could live in a world where Konami didn't hate their games and they could put that out on other platforms that were easier to play. Because I will say, like, still hooking up a Sega CD is kind of a pain in the ass. Because
plus, the hardware fails really easily at this point.
Right.
And Snatcher is so crying out for it. It'd be so perfect for a touchscreen device.
It'd be good for a touchscreen device. And also, just so I didn't need to plug in 48 AC adapters that are literally the size of bricks.
You need a Sega power bar.
Or I could get that awesome thing that guy made where he made one AC adapter that fits, that powers your Sega CD, your Sega Genesis, and your 32X all in one power brick.
That's what I've got.
Or yeah, you could get that thing that is like worth $150, the Sega Genesis power strip built for the life support of the Sega Genesis. Keep that thing going.
It was great. I have one. Yeah, I still have one.
You bought it when it came out?
Who are you talking to? No. I didn't even know it existed when it came out. I bought it years later.
Okay.
It's got Sega written right across the front of it. It's great.
Right. Okay. Anyways. Yeah.
No fun.
Go check out the Sega CD. It's available now. And try to not buy perfect in-box games, because don't forget, those Sega CD cases, they sold so few Sega CD games that they ended up using those same shit cases for the Sega Saturn in the United States.
And selling them to Sony for the first round of
PlayStation. Those were cardboard boxes, right?
No, the very first ones were those big jewel cases.
Gross.
Then they went to cardboard boxes.
Oh, man, I remember the first ever PlayStation 1 game I bought with my own money was a used copy of Resident Evil at Funko Land in that gross cardboard box.
Mm-hmm.
Oh my God.
But yeah, go look up like Ridge Racer. Ridge Racer and Toshinden both came in those big Sega style jewel cases.
Yeah, I never checked those out. I do want to. I'm doing a quick search because you know who shot Johnny Rock?
Yeah. American Laser Games.
That totally came out on the Sega CD. I got to find a copy of that.
Came with its own, you could get yet another light gun. The American Laser Games released their own light gun for the Genesis.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Along with Konami, along with Sega.
And this is something I totally forgot to mention when I started this episode, but we cannot forget the Make My Music video series. And the impact that had on the careers of NXS, of Marky Mark and the Funky Bunch, and of course, what was the other one? It wasn't Bell Biv.
Criss Cross. CNC Music Factory.
CNC Music Factory. Man. What?
All dead now. Coincidence? They're not all dead now.
Okay. Well, that's gonna do it for this episode. But if you're a Patreon supporter, stick around because you're going to get a bonus segment of retro goodness. Because I hope you guys know how much I appreciate that incredible Patreon support. We've had some people drop off recently. So I hope if you really enjoy this show and you want to help the production of it going forward, vote with your dollar by making $1 or more per episode contribution to this show, and then you get extra bonus content like what we're about to do in a couple minutes, where we're going to talk about the Famicom Mini, we're going to be talking about some more NES Classic Edition stuff, and there could be some awesome video game music stuff in there as well. So I hope you guys enjoy that. But before we get into it, you can find Greg at SEWART on Twitter. You can find him on the Player One podcast every Sunday, where you're going to hear CJ talk about Nintendo. You're going to hear Phil make dirty jokes. You will hear Ethan Einhorn talk about sunsetting. In-app purchases.
Obfuscated spending.
Is that an actual term?
Yes.
And, you know, hopefully at least he will have a segment or two. Did he talk about Steins Gate Zero?
A while ago.
No, there's a new one that came out last week.
I don't believe so.
All right, we're going to talk about Steins Gate Zero in this bonus segment too, because we got to do another episode of Next Gen and we haven't done that just yet. So go check out Greg on all those things, and eventually we'll have a new episode of Generation 16 up, which you can also support at patreon.com/generation16.
Yes, sir.
And is there anything else, Greg?
No, I think I'm good. Check out Player One Podcast. We're going to be doing our Christmas song soon and our end of the year game awards soon.
Game of the year from the Player One Podcast, including all those great categories. And, you know, wrap it up. Let's, who's your favorite roommate when you worked at EGM?
What? I had three roommates. I had Chris Baker, Shane Bettenhausen, and Greg Ford. And how could you not pick Greg Ford?
Because the Red Sox are awesome. That's right. And we're going to win the World Series next year with our latest trade. So thanks so much for listening to this super duper long episode about Sega CD music. I'm sure we missed a bunch of your favorite tracks in here as well.
Oh, we could. I envision an episode for every single game released of Back in My Play.
Okay. That's probably not going to happen.
I feel like you should make it happen. The patrons want it.
But yeah, if you want to give us some feedback on things that we miss, maybe we will do a follow-up mini episode, something like that, where we can continue to talk about the music of the Sega CD or mix it in with the PC Engine CD episode / PC Engine music as well. But I'm rambling. That's where we're going to stop for right now. Go pop in or just pull out that Model 2 Sega CD drive that is probably broken, and shove your Genesis into the slot and listen to some fantastic music from Pop 4.
Here.
We'll see you next time.